and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy, here with Pat, and today is Tuesday, October 27th, 2020.
Bitcoin is on a tear. It's $13,700, up 4.2% from yesterday. At various points of the day, it's been between 13,800, 850. Never broke 14,000, but it did get up there pretty high. All of the other coins saw a great bump today. Ethereum was up 2.5% to 404 after being peaking at 415, getting knocked way down after Harvest, after the whole Harvest issue the other day. It was back down to 375, 385. Today, back up to 404. So there's obviously a lot of interest. The markets, the U.S. markets today were way off. So the Dow at one point today was down 800 points. There was essentially a direct response to McConnell taking the U.S., the Senate into recess. So there was essentially, McConnell was like, all right, there is no stimulus going to happen until after the after the election. That immediately tanked the market along with a few other things. Intel had a horrible results yesterday. A few other companies announced really bad results. The consumer, like airlines, are back down because no one's, you know, there's another new spike in coronaviruses. So no one's traveling again. So U.S. markets took a huge hit. Bitcoin benefited mightily from that. And I think that there, I couldn't look at something and say there's a more direct correlation. Like basically it was, it for all intents and purposes, it looked like a safe harbor move. It was so directly correlated, massive crash on most of the, U.S. exchanges, massive pump on most of the crypto, on the crypto movement. So we're seeing more and more kind of decoupling between these assets, especially when it's stuff like this, where it's like a lot of nervousness around the election, a lot of nervousness around what's happening with the economy, a lot of nervousness around how much money is going to get printed after the election, one way or the other. So, crypto is just going to benefit from this. So if you're looking to take some gains, it's not a bad time to do it.
All right. Well, thank you, as always, to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does DeFi investment monitoring, token tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. Yeah, it was exciting to see Bitcoin hit a high for the year so far.
High for the year. Yeah, this is the 2020 high. Was 13,420. Or no, I mean, that's old news. It's 13,850, I think.
All right. So up first, Notional launches out of stealth to bring fixed rate lending to DeFi.
Yeah. So anyone that's been doing borrowing on DeFi knows that there are some issues. There's two really big issues with borrowing from DeFi. One is if you borrow Ethereum, you are, and this goes from Maker and a few other ones. If you borrow Ethereum, you generally collateralize your borrowing with some sort of coin, or you deposit Ethereum to take out DAI. And when you do that, you pick up two kind of variables. You pick up a variable interest rate, which is based on the amount of supply and demand for the particular currency at that time. And you pick up a variable, the variable of the exchange rate to the underlying asset that you borrowed. So with Maker, the way it works is that you set a collateralized point. If the value of your Ethereum drops below a certain amount of collateralization for the amount of tokens you've pulled out, or of DAI you've pulled out, there are people that can go and start liquidating your Ethereum to get you to a good collateral debt to, basically debt to borrowing ratio. That is, I'd say that's at least one, if not two, variables too many. Like most consumers are used to a pretty simple equation when it comes to debt, which is like, hey, I'm going to borrow at a, 6% interest rate, or if it's a mortgage, at 3.25% interest rate, whatever it is, and not really worry about it, not have to worry about all these other variables. It makes it very nerve-wracking. It basically takes borrowing from a passive kind of thing to an active thing. Like you wouldn't think that you have to be an active investor or an active participant in borrowing money. But in fact, when you collateralize with ETH and when you have these active interest rates, you really do, because you have to be watching your Ethereum every single day. And if you watch the interest rates, if the interest rates spike because everyone's pulling their money because everyone's nervous about harvest or whatever, then suddenly your APY is going to go way up. Basically, the interest rate you're paying is going to go way up, and that's a huge issue. So there's a movement right now towards within the DeFi space towards bonds or longer term instruments that are essentially making and Notional is launching out stealth. I mean, we've been talking about Notional for a while. I didn't really think of them as particularly stealthy, but maybe they were, or maybe I'm thinking of a different company. But this was the idea of basically longer term fixed borrowing pieces that then have a fixed interest rate on it. And it's non-trivial because you really are. I mean, these are markets. That is the high level of how DeFi works is they are markets and there is a supply and demand. The whole point is creating incentive structures around supply and demand. So more people are putting money in so you can pull more and borrow more out. This idea of doing a longer lockup period with a fixed interest rate is ultimately incredibly good for the industry. I mean, basically, you as a consumer want to have a broad range of ways to borrow money. You want to have, you know, just like you have with mortgages, you want to have a variable interest rate that you can quickly refinance when you want to, if you have that kind of flexibility. You want to have long-term interest rates that are fixed that might be a little bit higher. You want to have all those options. So options are great. This is super, super exciting. I mean, I think we're going to see more and more of these kind of smorgasbord offerings coming out of DeFi. So this is super exciting.
Yeah, it is. All right, next. Stantiment reports that there are a handful of all of the top altcoins that are really being accumulated by whales.
Yeah, this was great. I mean, we just wanted to talk really quickly about the big ones. Ren, Chainlink, Elf, Kyber, 0x. Ren is obviously the governance token behind the Ren BTC. I don't think Ren has any real value. I could be wrong about that, but they're Ren BTC itself is controlled by, you know, a group of four dudes in their crypto keys. There's not a lot of value to their governance token. I don't know why people are accumulating this, to be super honest. Chainlink is more interesting. I mean, Chainlink really has become one of the foundational pieces of the entire DeFi ecosystem. And the Chainlink token is directly used for as oracles become more important and as people start rewarding oracles and getting other things onto the blockchain and oracles. So right now, you know, oracles are mainly used for pricing and that type of data. But as people start getting sports scores and the price of crude oil and stuff like that onto the blockchain, Chainlink is going to go up. I mean, it's the way it's sort of designed. So I think there's some of these make a lot of sense. It's great to know that what people are accumulating. You can sort of see the big wallets. You know, Ethereum has a sort of issue where it's very easy to see the big wallets where money's flowing into. And so you can see where there's really big tokens getting accumulated. So, if you're the kind of person who wants to follow trends, I think that there's some really good ones here to kind of follow. Go read about all of them and check it out.
Great. All right. Next, Open Zeppelin, which is a blockchain company known most for developing a widely used ERC-20 contract, announced this week that they are releasing a developer suite called Defender.
Yeah, Open Zeppelin is really well known. I mean, it's not just the ERC-20 contract. They essentially have a suite of smart contracts that smart contract developers will import into their smart contracts that do a lot of security stuff. It is incredibly important. Like writing good security into your smart contracts is really hard. And we look at there's been a few examples. A great example of what they do is they have an ERC-20 contract which has been audited and is nicely structured. So that's great. They also have things like reentrancy defense. So reentrancy attacks that's what took down the DAO, the earliest hack that really caused the ETC ETH chain split. What took that down was a reentrancy attack. They have a great, easy to import defense against reentrancy attacks. So that's kind of the example. What they've been building is essentially what I would call a DevOps suite for smart contracts. And it has a bunch of different features. It has deployment features. Deployment for smart contracts is non-trivial. If you're using Truffle, which most people are, it's a command line. It is not compatible with, you know, multi-sig smart contract wallets. It is difficult to use. You know, you end up putting your private seed key directly into the config files. It's ugly. There is a a lack of good tooling and good DevOps tooling around this. They also have, like, some of the other stuff that Defender's doing is the ability to run cron jobs where it automatically fires off a job against the blockchain. Really, really good stuff. This is super exciting to me. Like, I like developer tools. I like watching development space. This is ultimately incredibly good for the industry. Better tools for developers to write this kind of stuff. That's what's important.
All right. Well, that'll do it for today. Thank you, as always, for listening to the DeFi Daily. And you can check us out on Twitter at the DeFi Daily.
Take it easy.